Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This week, Chris is on special assignment. We're recovering from the International UFO Congress. You could take it any way you want. Regardless, he's not here, but we have asked at the last minute our own forum moderator and occasional guest co-host, Goggs McKay, to join us. Goggs, how's it going for you?
I'm going great, Gene. And as I told you about recently, I'm really getting into my new iMac. It's a long time since I've been using Macs, and this computer is light years ahead of anything I'd owned in the past, so I'm really happy getting to grips with this. I'm looking forward to the show today.
This is one of those 5K iMacs, right?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Okay, well, glad that you got your new equipment. Congratulations. Now you could use all the latest stuff with it. Let's move on to some exciting times here. Now, there's a lot of debate in the PowerCast forums at forum.thepowercast.com about these alleged Roswell slides. I'm sure you've been following with Goggs.
Yeah.
The Roswell slides, supposedly they're found in an attic somewhere. Two slides. And now they're trying to say that what you see on those slides may be the body of an alien, more to the point, maybe a body of an alien from the Roswell crash. And I'm still wondering about making the connections here. What do you think?
I haven't studied the photos and slides in detail, and I believe there are a few more still yet to be seen in public when they're going to be revealed. But it's been said before that all it's showing is, you know, it's a picture. Even if it's proved to be film stock of that era, it still doesn't prove anything, and it certainly doesn't prove that body on that stretcher came from the crash scene near Roswell. But what I'm really thinking could be interesting is if it's possible to determine, firstly, that the slide isn't a composite, you know, a modern fake, and if it's possible to check that anything in the background, you know, corresponds to the real locations, so say what used to be the hospital, Roswell Army Airfield, things like that. The reason why I think this could be interesting, if it is supposedly original 1940s film stock, is just that in science fiction, in the public consciousness, there wasn't the image of the grey alien as we know it now. So if this is an original image, this kind of, you know, small alien being kind of precedes what was to come later on, quite a bit later on. So even though it doesn't prove anything itself, that's quite interesting. I'll be very interested to see what the remaining slides tell.
To clarify, what we're seeing is not the original slides, but a copy of some kind of video presentation showing the slides. So we do not see them in full resolution. So we don't know exactly how precise this image is, how clear it is. And until we see that, and until we see the photo analysis that might have been done, then we're really just whistling in the dark here.
Yes, because it's only just it's a leak that's happened so far. And that's why it's not anything near original. But if I'm right, that there will be supposedly original slides coming, or are we saying we're only ever going to be seeing copies?
We're supposed to see what the original slides look like. Okay. And you could use them with a slide projector.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to happen in May at an event that's sponsored by a Mexican UFO researcher who's kind of controversial, Jaime Musan, in Mexico City. And you have to pay for it. It's not like you're inviting the press down. You have to pay for this event. You have to go in there and you have to shell out the cash. It's not just a press conference in America. So regardless if they fill the seats, they can make money off it. And I have no problem with making money from what you do.
Sure.
Someone has to pay the bills. I worry about the pomp and the circumstance ahead of presenting authentic information, because if this is what purports to be, and right now we just have hype and we just have vapor, which is the phrase in the computer industry for announcing a product or software that doesn't really come out or ends up not quite being what's touted to be. So we have something here where we have the promise of a smoking gun or a possible smoking gun in the Roswell case. And that's a lot of connections to make, even if it was an alien being. Where does it come from? Is it from the Roswell case? And even if the photo emulsion is dated back to 1947, which is what they claim, how do you know when the picture was taken? Remember today, when we take photos on your iPhones or your Samsung phone or something, or any digital camera, they're geotagged with time and location. But a Kodachrome slide, you know, maybe that film was sitting in a refrigerator for 10 years, which helps preserve it. And then somebody takes the picture or fakes the picture. No idea. We'll see what happens.
There's not even a hope of a decent evidence chain. It's also interesting, I think, that, you know, in ufology, often we want to be taken seriously. We would love to be taken seriously by the scientific community at large. And I agree with you that I don't have a problem with anyone making money. Certainly, if you're going to have to front a convention or something like that, you need to recoup your costs and stuff. But having this, like, whatever, 10,000-seater arena in Mexico City, this huge grandstanding before any analysis, it's the wrong way round if you want to be taken seriously, is my opinion. But, you know, how much checking? We'll never be able to join the dots. And as you're saying, there's no way, even if it was a real photo, there's no way to actually put that apparent being at the Roswell crash. There are lots of holes in the evidence chain.
Well, we're going to see if that chain is filled. But right now what bothers me is the hype. That instead of just sitting back and saying, look, when everything is ready, we'll give you the information. You get all these preliminary reports and grandstanding, and that creates a situation where expectations rise and they're setting themselves up for a big fall. As I said, follow the Apple Incorporated playbook. Apple doesn't announce a product or a service till it's ready or till there's a marketing reason for them to have that product or service announced. They don't announce it otherwise. They let the rumor mongers go on. But here we have all the hints being dropped, and we still don't know that there's anything serious going on. We'll have to see.
Do you see the parallels with the whole Melba Ketchum situation with the supposed Bigfoot DNA and how that became public supposedly before when it should have? And there's kind of a similar thing going on here that isn't very positive for the subject.
Now, on this week's episode of the Paracast, we're returning to Rendlesham Forest. And the key reason is because one of the key figures in that case, one of the witnesses, former Airman First Class John Burroughs, has been on the show a couple of times. And he had been fighting with the Veterans Administration to get coverage for a medical disability that supposedly relates to what happened in Rendlesham Forest. And he elicited a lawyer to help him out. And the VA is pretty difficult to deal with. Look at all the controversies about the VA. So what we've done today is we've invited John with his attorney, who's going to explain the process and how he got involved, because he's a guy in Mississippi who took on this case to help a veteran get what was due him. We'll also hear from Nick Pope. And as you know, Nick was on the Paracast not so long ago with John, and we were discussing a book in which they all participated in called Encounter in Rendlesham Forest. All right? And there's been some controversy over that book involving Peter Robbins, who was co-author of Left at Eastgate. This is pretty involved, folks. We'll focus on that very little. I'd rather focus on what in the press release says the U.S. government's de facto acknowledgement of the existence of UFOs in accepting the claim from John Burroughs. More to come with Gene and Gogs MacKay. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your product should make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. You're close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're joined by Nick Pope. And of course, you all recall he was involved with the UFO desk at the UK Ministry of Defense. He's written or co-authored such books as Encounter of Rendlesham Forest. We also have John Burroughs, who was a co-author of that book and one of the key figures in the Rendlesham case. We also have an attorney from Mississippi, Patrick Frascagna. And if I keep mispronouncing his name, it's because my Italian. And we're going to cover a lot of ground here. So if you think I'm giving it short shrift, I'm sorry about that. Of course, we have Gogs McKay as our guest co-host this week. Chris was not able to make it. And a very quick announcement for you. If you haven't checked it out yet, we have the PowerCast Plus, our premium subscription package for the show. If you go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, you learn more. We offer the ad-free version of the show with higher quality audio. We offer the After the PowerCast podcast. And this week, it's going to be me and Gogs doing that segment After the PowerCast. If you go for a subscription of 1 year or 5 years, you get a free copy of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Nick, before we go on, as you know, we did an episode of the PowerCast back in December with Peter Robbins, one of the co-authors of Left at Eastgate, and he's involved in this ebook called Deliberate Deception. And I take it, obviously, he was none too happy with the book that you did, Nick, about Rendlesham with John, of course. What is the situation here? What's going on? What's your response?
Well, you know, despite attempts to kind of spin this as some great controversy in the UFO community, bottom line is Peter doesn't like our book. And, you know, we get that. He's made a whole bunch of Facebook posts about it, been on a couple of radio shows, and as I say, you know, he's said that he doesn't like our book. But to try to imply that the UFO community is up in arms and there's some great scandal and that Encounter in Rendlesham Forest is part of some sinister government disinformation plot to discredit him and or Larry Warren, I mean, that's just fantasy. I wish Peter well, but, you know, our book was not about Larry Warren, and Larry's had his say, Peter's had his say. Encounter in Rendlesham Forest was John, Jim, and myself putting what we thought we wanted to say out. Bottom line, Peter doesn't like the book. That's his prerogative. And that's really, despite, you know, all the tens of thousands of words that have been written about all this, frankly, that's all there is to say.
Just one brief follow-up question then, Nick. Obviously, questions are raised, I guess, about your former association with the government of the UK. And that is part of the common conspiracy theory in the UFO field. If you ever work for the government, maybe you're part of the conspiracy to hide UFO information?
Yeah, well, none of us can escape our past. This comes up with anyone involved in this field who has been in this sort of position and worked for the government. I mean, John Alexander, I'm sure, has similar issues. Yeah, I worked for the government, for the British government, for 21 years at the Ministry of Defense. I did a lot of interesting things. Self-evidently, I can't talk about a lot of that because I signed the Official Secrets Act. A lot of information is still classified. But to extrapolate from there and say that I'm, I don't know, guardian of some great secret about this, part of a cover-up, candidate member of MJ-12, whatever the accusations are. I mean, again, you know, people can believe that if they want, but it simply isn't true. You know, in a sense, I can deny it till the cows come home. My denials are hardly going to be believed by the conspiracy theorists anyway. So in a sense, what's the point in even trying?
Also, I would think if you had guilty knowledge about UFOs, it would blow the lid on everything. Why would you even get involved in the field in the first place?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Can I jump in on that real fast?
Sure, John.
Okay, one of the things that I'm going to bring up later, you know, because we're getting close to the end, probably the first segment anyway, is that Nick's been trying to get some stuff out for years, and it all is going to lead back to what ended up a lot of it having to do with me being able to get my disability approved and, you know, and stuff that we focused on when we went forward with the VA, Pat and I, and that's Project Condyne. And Nick, as soon as this was declassified, started talking about it. So I think people need to understand that Nick has actually been out there trying to get people to pay more attention than they really have, and they've chose to ignore it, which is their fault, not Nick's.
Okay, maybe there'll be questions from listeners about that, but let's move on. Let's go to the future and see what's happening. Now, Patrick Frascagna is an attorney from Mississippi who takes on a lot of cases, I gather, that go against the corporations, go against the man, as they say. In this case, Pat, why did you get involved with this? Did you have an interest in UFOs before this came to your desk?
Not particularly, Gene. I wouldn't say so. By invitation of John and, at the time, Jim Pennison, to get involved with them, given the importance and the credibility of the Rendlesham Forest incident, it just seemed like a natural to help them. There was no hesitation. Not for me, at least.
Okay, so did you seek out John and Jim, or had you heard about this case before this started? What?
That's kind of a yes and no answer to that. I had originally seen a television program back around 2008 that involved, that was about the Rendlesham Forest incident. It was the first time I'd ever even was aware of that. And although I'd had a passing interest in UFOs through the years, even since childhood, I never had a great interest in the topic until I saw that program. And it struck me immediately at that time as something special, very special. And I decided that I would like to meet the principals of that incident, of course, who were John and John Burroughs and Jim Pennison. And so ultimately I organized a conference, a UFO conference here in the home state of Mississippi in 2011 and invited them to come primarily so that I could meet them. So that I could assess for myself what that incident was all about, whether it was as credible as it seemed and so forth. It was from that conference and meeting them that they then asked me to join with them in their struggle to obtain records and so forth.
Let's go into the problem here. Now, we all know the VA, especially the VA in Phoenix, Arizona, has been under fire for just incompetence, ignoring patients, allowing patients who are very, very sick not to get the treatment that they deserved. And we'll get into Gog's question on next segment. But here's the thing here. In getting involved in something like this and taking on a case like this against the government, coping with a bureaucracy, do you think that the problems he encountered in getting his coverage were related to other VA issues or something specific because he had a UFO sighting? We'll have more to come. We have John Burroughs, Nick Pope, Patrick Frascagna. More to come with Gene and Goggs. You're in
the Thoughtcast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free Everstrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Again, that's FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalLighter.com today.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Gox Mackay as our guest co-host this week on the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris will be back next week. Our guests, Nick Pope, John Burroughs, Patrick Frascagna, an attorney who took on the case of defending John Burroughs to get the money due him from the VA. So, framing the question I asked in the last segment, Pat, do you think part of the problem was because of the incompetence of the VA that we all know about, or because of his UFO connection, or both?
I think it was both. I think at first, so much of it could certainly, you could point to just negligence, call it nonfeasance. I didn't necessarily see any malfeasance or anything like that. It was just typical government bureaucracy. However, as time went on and certain problems continued to persist, certain problems in getting records and just the way that things were being handled, it moved beyond just mere left and right hands not knowing what they were doing or negligence or whatever you want to call it. Although there was an element of both, by a certain point, it became clear there was something much more. Call it sinister, if you like.
Hi, Pat. Gogs here. I've got a question for you. Just on the legal side of things, did you research much, you know, legal precedent for cases of veterans who were having their medical records withheld? Were there other similar cases you could look at and, you know, see what happened with these? Or was this quite an unusual case?
I would say the latter, quite an unusual case. The game plan all along was to give the government every opportunity that we could in responding to written requests to give us what we wanted, which was simply John Burroughs' medical records or anything else that would assist us in providing or assist a medical professional in treating him. So So we figured that, from the very beginning, this is what we'll do. We'll keep asking. And if they keep denying, then at some point after we've asked as many times as we could and still gotten nothing, then we've got the case we need to go up against the government with. And so they continued to do that, and we were building our case all along in that direction.
It gets to a point where there's obvious stonewalling going on. I'm sure that's what it seems. John, if I can bring you in here a bit quickly. Having been in the military myself, I know that there are medical classifications for fitness to serve in the military. I was just wondering if at the time or just after the Rendlesham incident, was there any change to your medical fitness classification just post the event, as in something happened to change to downgrade you or nothing happened? What happened on that score?
Okay, it's pretty simple. The condition I had that was diagnosed right after the incident, I could not have gotten into the Air Force with. And that was part of the initial evidence that was submitted, that because couldn't get our hands on the medical records, I had a copy of my entry physical, my exit physical in 1988. And when I came in, I had a clean bill of health, no heart issues, no anything. And a matter of fact, the condition that I was later diagnosed in the military with right after the incident would have disqualified me from coming in the military. It was found shortly after the incident, and It was very prevalent when the civilian doctor found it. I happened to be home when I was continuing to be not feeling well, but I got really sick one particular time when I was home and I couldn't travel back and I had to go see a civilian doctor. So from that point on, shortly after the incident, I was diagnosed with the heart issue that continued to get worse over the years.
What type of heart issue are we talking about?
We're talking about my heart mitral valve was damaged. There's two leaflets in the valve itself, and both of them are damaged. Normally, when there is an issue with the mitral valve, the one valve, and I call them front and back because I don't have the technical name for it. The front one is the one that will show damage, which it did, but the back one, which my civilian doctors didn't even look at for whatever reason, but I've gotten different things from different people over the years saying they normally wouldn't just because that usually isn't a problem. That particular leaflet was shredded. It all leads back to radiation, what caused it.
Pat, if I can come back to you for a second. Did the Veterans Administration at any time, their legal team, did they ever try to possibly attribute John's medical problems to anything else in his career, military or otherwise, try to steer the blame, as it were, away from the Rendlesham incident?
Not after my involvement began in 2011. John, you would have to answer if there was anything prior to that of such nature.
No, never. Matter of fact, what they did do, which we've kind of skirted around, was when we first filed the claim, okay, it went in through Senator Kyle's office, and they were the ones that came back and said, my records appear to be classified. And what it came down to was they denied my initial disability claim, and this is the key to this going forward, is that I wasn't in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And that I did not have any medical records for the time frame from 79 to 82, which, in fact, our claim was based solely on the fact that I was injured in the line of duty, that it took place in Rendlesham Forest, in 1980, and it was from radiation damage. And they had these documents in front of them already in the first place showing that the incident took place, that I was there and everything else, and they chose to overlook them. They chose to come back with the simple denial of this. So, and you weren't in, so you weren't there, so you couldn't have been damaged by radiation.
Well, if you were not in the Air Force, where were you?
Well, it took a while, but Senator McCain's office, and through some stuff I was able to do, too, around the Air Force, which I understand how to get around them, we were able to show an updated DD Form 214. But we have all the evidence that shows that they initially said I wasn't in until 1982. That was one of the first things that started.
Now, let me clarify here. Did doctors officially diagnose you as having some sort of radiation poisoning to generate this heart condition?
We can't get the exact records from them. They're still denying us access to my medical records and the final evaluation on why they refuse to acknowledge it. As a matter of fact, it was almost like when they gave this out, then 3 weeks later, I got a letter from them saying we had done a specific FOIA through Senator McCain's office. And they basically gave a one-line sentence, said that they've released everything that they're going to release. And in fact, that wasn't what the FOIA was about, which is they violated federal law by not acknowledging exactly what the questions were in the FOIA. And plus, they're not going to release the case file when they came to the final decision, other than that we do have evidence as far as through when they release the final stuff to us, it shows, you know, that I've got the disability and the evidence considered, which was the Reynolds and Forrest stuff, which is what led back to me, my first claim in the first place.
Did you at any time try to just get an appointment with the VA to see a doctor and let him diagnose for his or herself what you were suffering from?
Oh, that's another whole long story, Gene, how Pat was there for a lot of it with the surgery and what was said with the doctors, what they were looking at. The fact that some of the VA doctors can't even get into certain parts of my files, they don't have the clearance. The fact that a lot of my files are locked down, even during and after the surgery, they're all in the VISTA system, which some of the stuff, the easy stuff is all there, doctors and everything. The stuff that has to do with my heart and all that other stuff, it all says the doctors and all the diagnosis is in the VISTA system. When I requested to get that stuff, I was denied access to that.
Does it help then to just take brand new tests and see what you're suffering from now rather than look at the history if you can't get it?
Pat, you can answer that. Your wife's
That's a good question, but I think the way I would answer that, the most succinct answer would be the conversation I had with John's cardiac the surgeon afterward, and he came in, I think it was the next day, into intensive care. And I asked him, I said, so what damaged his heart? And he said, I have no idea. So if he didn't know, I don't know that there was any test that could be performed. We did have assistance from some others that had some knowledge of that sort of radiation and had written letters trying to let the VA doctors know that that's what it was that had done so.
Let's pause here and we'll continue. Patrick Frascagna joining us with John Burroughs, Nick Pope, with Gene and Gogs Mackay. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Don't
complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Frasconia.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Pat Frasconia with Nick Pope and John Burroughs. We're talking about the decision to cover John Burroughs, get him some coverage from the VA so he can get his treatment. Now, I gather also, John, that getting this kind of treatment from a civilian doctor is pretty darn expensive if you don't have coverage.
Well, I had medical coverage, and the way this all started was that the civilian doctor could not figure out what was wrong with me. In other words, the symptoms were there. I kept going into AFib and congestive heart failure. He ran quite a few tests to the point where everything that would have led to me having these symptoms wasn't there. In other words, he ran through all the tests. As a matter of fact, he wanted to do one more that the actual insurance company denied because everything leading up to that last test, which was very expensive, showed no signs of that. So he was completely perplexed. And the first incident wasn't terrible. The second one was worse, where they put the pacemaker defibrillator in. The third one was where I almost died. So
When did this happen?
It started right after I returned from England in 2010, early 2011, and it went forward from there. I mean, the thing was, at the time of my surgery, They didn't even realize when they had more data provided to VA and a couple of other doctors that we haven't been able to identify who they are. They had more data than most, but when I first went in, at first the surgeon thought, well, maybe we can band it. But then when he went in, he said, he's never seen any kind of damage like this as far as it was extensive. And he said I was close to failure. And even they couldn't, even with the test that they had, they couldn't realize how bad it was. And you just don't see that kind of damage, not especially at my age. And my, you know, healthy and everything else about me was healthy. All my heart, every test they did, my heart was healthy. The only damage was from the actual valve damage creating all the damage.
John, do we know if Jim Peniston suffered any ill effects?
Jim has had medical issues. You need to read Encounter and Rendlesham Forest because it's personal. I don't want to go into his issues. you know, and he actually at the beginning was on board with this, and then for whatever reason, we don't even know why, he dropped out of it pretty quickly after we finished the citizens' hearing. And his only comment that he's made publicly was that he had some other documents that he held back that he turned into the VA, and the VA was taking care of the issues. So that's the best I can go in on what Jim's medical issues were.
Sure.
So at this particular point in time, John, what's the state of your health? Have these issues been resolved by the surgeries you've had?
Well, they're resolved in the fact that my heart is getting stronger and I'm getting better, yes. But the damage is severe. I mean, my fracture rate is very low compared to what's normal. It's in the 30s. It should be up in the 50s. I have a pacemaker defibrillator. I have a mechanical valve in my heart. And my heart had quite a bit of damage that they just now took another test to see how much it's repaired itself, but I will not have access to that either.
Patrick, let's get back to you and what you pursued here. Now, obviously, you didn't go into court for this, did you? Did you just basically reach a settlement, that right?
Right. We never had to go to court, per se, for anything, which is good. But we were prepared in getting in position if that's what it was going to take to do so. And John McCain, Senator McCain's office, well, Senator Kyle had tried to help us, albeit he was leaving office, and I think we only had him on the case for about a year. Was that right, John? He left. And he was unable to do anything, and then Senator McCain got on board. And all along, we knew that if the U.S. Senator could not shake anything loose from this tree, then we were ready to go forward in court.
Now, is there a written settlement or agreement with the government over this issue?
They issued a letter to the senator about the case. So, yes, there is.
Does that letter say anything specifically about the Rendlesham encounter, UFOs, things like that? Is it just strictly about his treatment?
No. It does include that. It includes, there's a page of that that includes the evidence, that lists the evidence that was considered in coming to the conclusion that John needed to be taken care of by them. And listed among the items on that page or documents that John had provided to them regarding the Rendlesham Forest incident, and it is so named in that on that page specifically.
So therefore you conclude on the basis of that that they're acknowledging the existence of UFOs?
Yes, and right away, I'm going to have to tell you, John had referred to it earlier. This goes back to Nick and what he had done in the release of that report in, I believe it was 2006. But for that, it wouldn't have been included in this document.
Nick, would you like to add to that?
Yes. There were two statements which I think were particularly helpful. And I mean, let's not forget that before I go into those, that let's not forget how high up the tree this has gone. Not only was and John and Pat will, I'm sure, come on to speak about this in more detail. Not only was Senator Kyle and his office involved, but Senator McCain and his office involved much more recently, added to the fact that six former members of Congress wrote not just to the Secretary of the VA, but to the President of the United States about this. So this has been considered at the highest level. Turning to your specific question, the two pieces of evidence which really, I think, helped unlock this, given, of course, that for years all this was denied, were two things. Firstly, a Ministry of Defense document dated February 23rd, 1981, which was the Defense Intelligence Staff assessment of the radiation levels at the landing site. And the critical phrase there was that it said significantly higher than the average background. And this, of course, goes back to what Colonel Holt put in his memo when Munro Nevels, the disaster preparedness officer, assessed the landing site with a Geiger counter. But the real smoking gun, what really unlocked this, I think, is an obscure sentence from Project Condyne's final report. Bear in mind, this document was classified secret, UK eyes only. And it was tucked away. It's a classic case of the best place to hide a book is in a library. And the quote was as follows. The well-reported Rendlesham Forest / Bentwaters event is an example where it might be postulated that several observers were probably exposed to UAP radiation for longer than UAP sighting periods. There may be other cases which remain unreported. It's clear that the recipients of these effects are not aware that their behavior / perception of what they are observing is being modified. So basically, bottom line, a highly classified intelligence study on UFOs said, yeah, these guys were irradiated. And that, I think, is what gave Pat and John the ammunition to say, hey, you can deny all you like. We've got a government document here that says these people were irradiated as a direct result of encountering whatever it is they encountered.
Patrick, from beginning to end, how long did this process take?
Well, I can only tell you from the time I joined the effort, that would be since 2011, so essentially 4 years. But John was working on this long before. So he would have to tell you how long before then.
During the course of this, did you hear of any other cases involving people possibly being injured as a result of a UFO sighting?
Oh, I've heard many. I've had, at this point, at the very least, several dozen, if not well over 100, people contact me from across the country that have had different encounters and then reported injuries therefrom. So obviously this is not something, an isolated case. It's a different case in the sense that it's had the publicity it has, and it's the Rendlesham Forest incident, of course. But there are others out there, without a doubt.
And we'll have you answer this in our next segment, Pat. But do you plan, perhaps, on pursuing any more cases now that you've had this victory in hand, assessing the fact that we have a UFO connection with radiation injury? I'm going to ask you that in our next segment. We're talking to Nick Pope. We're talking to John Burroughs. We have Patrick Fresconia. He's an attorney who defended John in a successful result to get coverage from the VA. Gene and Gogs Mackay, you're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
I'm really glad my buddy Mark turned me on to GunsAD.com. I got to tell you, I didn't want to buy any more firearms. I didn't want a paperwork trail headed back to Big Brother. I want 100% privacy. I want to be an invisible gun owner. Hello? So Mark says, hey, you know, guns80.com, Ghost AR-15. Ghost means invisible. Get it? Ghost AR-15, guns80.com. I got a couple, if you know what I mean. Go to guns80.com or call 844-2-GUNS-80.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and
auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.